Hello and welcome to Pumped, the Inside Podcast by Schwalbe. I'm your host Tobias Borgon, and I'm talking here with Schwalbe athletes from different disciplines, from downhill to cross country, and from triathlon to road riding. And today we're talking to a very special member of the Schwalbe family, Aaron Fotheringham. Aaron joined Schwalbe when he was just 14 years old and was the first person who ever flipped a wheelchair. Since then, he is traveling the world and showing his tricks to a large audience, and even invented a complete new sport. How he got to flip the mega ramp of the Nitro Circus and what his plans for the futures are, you will find out in this episode of Pumped. Hey Aaron, thank you so much for taking the time to do the podcast with us. Where I'm catching you right now?
I'm at home here in Las Vegas.
Okay, cool. So at my place, it's 8 o'clock in the afternoon. And what is the time at your place?
So out here, it's 11 a.m. right now. Just kind of getting the day started.
So we just talked about
a late start
in the day. That's always good. So you plan to go riding today?
Yeah, I actually just finished up putting together a new wheelchair, so I was going to go test it out, and hopefully it holds up.
That sounds good. That's a good plan for the day.
What about you? You going riding?
Dude, we are in the middle of the winter. And to be honest, this is the first winter since over 10 years I'm spending in Germany, and it's fucking cold.
Yeah, so, that's a good excuse.
Yeah, so I'm doing a lot of cross-country skiing and this stuff, but riding at the moment is not the best. It's just, I'm just too soft for it, for the cold temperatures.
Hey, I understand that.
Yeah. We just talked about that we met probably 15 years ago when you were in Germany the first time on the home ground tour, and you were the first the first one who ever backflipped a wheelchair on purpose. So how did it come that you started to ride your wheelchair in the skate park?
Man, I have a brother who was into skateboarding and then BMX and stuff, and so he was a really big inspiration for me, and he's the one that actually kind of helped me get to the top of a quarter pipe for the first time. But I was just always a fan of X Games, and kind of watching, pro athletes out there just sending it, and that's kind of what really got me into it in the first place. But, I can't ride a bike or a skateboard, so the wheelchair was really just like the next, the next thing.
But that was not that common, that people in the wheelchair starting to ride in the skate park, right? I mean, you were...
Yeah, like...
You were super young when you started, but how did the other people react when you... showed up there with your wheelchair?
I feel like I still get a lot of the same reactions when I go to a skate park. Just people, if they haven't, seen it before, it's definitely a surprise to them. But, it's a lot of fun to kind of pull up to a skate park, and like see people's reactions for the first time, because, it's still a growing sport. But, that's definitely one of the more fun parts about it, is just the surprised look on people's face.
Yeah, I can imagine. So you've become a role model for many people in the wheelchair. And with your manner and with your coach, you showed the people that you're able to achieve something which it's not... let's say normal. And what did your parents say when you wanted to go to the skate park the first time?
Well, the first time I was, I just kind of went with my dad and my brother, and I was just kind of hanging out, watching. Didn't really think about dropping in until my brother kind of gave me the idea. so that's kind of just like how it began, but you know, I thought it was really, really exciting and something that really kind of interested me, you know.
And were your parents more scared or super supportive to drive you there and support you going in the skate park?
Honestly, they were super supportive. It surprises me when I think back on it. I'm like, wow, like they were very supportive, you know, and they, you know, they were nervous for sure. And especially when I'd have a bad crash, my mom would get super nervous, but, you know, they kept cheering me on, and they kind of knew that, you know, they needed to let me kind of explore this path, you know.
That's really great. Looking back, what would you recommend to children growing up in the wheelchair today?
I would probably say, you know, it's easy to kind of see the whole picture of something you want to do, you know, like a goal, and kind of let it discourage you, because I feel like that was a big thing for me, is like, you know, I'd have all these ideas, but then sometimes I would get like, you know, overwhelmed by, you know, thinking about the whole thing at once. And so I would say just maybe, you know, keep going step by step, and, you know, just kind of focus on, you know, one thing at a time, you know.
This is so great. So yesterday I watched on your Instagram account and saw that you're driving racer cars and driving bigger off-road cars through the desert. It's so you really, you're in enjoying everything. So how comes that you're now driving these off-road cars?
Well, you know, I guess I just have a thing for wheels, but when I was given the opportunity to kind of get into a racer, and, you know, getting set up in the Ram Rebel is just like, you know, it just kind of makes sense, you know, because the wheelchair is a lot of fun to me, but, you know, when you get to the off-road, it's a little bit more difficult, so, you know, it's kind of nice to be able to trade in the wheelchair for some horsepower. you know, it's a lot of fun. But
it definitely looks like, yeah. So do you have any plans to do it more often or compete in races, or yeah, any bigger plans ahead?
That's something I've always like dreamed about, is kind of getting more into the off-road scene like that. I think I definitely have a ways to go. So right now it's more of just a hobby and just something, you know, that's just something else I can, you know, get some air doing.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I think you're really living in a perfect place for this off-road kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's one of the perks of living in the desert, you know. Although I do have to say, we got some snow the other day. You'd be proud.
Really?
Yeah, we got a good maybe inch and a half in the driveway.
Okay. So after the skate park tour you did in Germany, you went to one of the biggest German TV shows, to TV Total, and then you even did a German cinema movie. Did that change anything for you back home in the US?
I mean, you know, that kind of was right at the beginning of my career, and I think that kind of pushed me and kind of, you know, gave me a lot more publicity and kind of just got me out there more and got me doing things that I wasn't, you know, at that time comfortable doing, you know. But it was a lot of fun to be able to, you know, meet Stefan Raab and, you know, to be able to kind of just get out there and do something like that. It really made me feel, you know, like, wow, like, you know, this wheelchair's given me so many cool opportunities. And, you know, and then coming back home after doing that, like, it really got me kind of wanting to do more kind of like stuntman stuff. So I, since then, I've done a few more like stuntman roles and kind of a little bit of acting here and there, but my tricks are better than my acting.
So you're more the stuntman than the actor.
I'm better at crashing and
talking. So then you went on the road with the Nitro Circus crew for a couple of years. How did you get involved with these guys? I mean, did Travis Pastrana just call you, or how does this work?
Man, so I actually got they contacted me through my website. And they, you know, one of the producers was talking, and he's like, hey, we'd love to have you come try out for one of our tours, you know? And I was freaking out because I was a big fan of Nitro Circus, you know, before they reached out. And then I just, like, lost my mind when they came to me. And that's kind of how it started. They brought me out to practice for the first time, and they gave me a shot on a mega ramp, you know, whereas no one would let me, you know, ride their mega ramps before because they're, you know, worried about liability and stuff like that. But yeah, Travis really gave me the opportunity to get some big air.
And then how many years or how many shows did you, in how many shows did you compete with the Nitro Circus crew?
Man, definitely over 100 shows.
Whoa!
Probably, yeah, probably somewhere close to like almost towards 200 shows, I would say. That might be an exaggeration, but somewhere in there, you know, like quite a bit. And it's just like we were touring. Basically, my first tour with Nitro was 2010. And then just all the way up until right before COVID. So, you know, I definitely miss it, though.
So any plans to do shows again when it's possible?
Yeah. Nitro's, you know, been talking about it and wanting to get some, you know, some shows going on as soon as we can get back to doing it. So fingers crossed that happens soon, you know.
Yeah, hopefully. So what is it like to be on the road with guys like that? And how is it to jump in front of this huge crowd on a mega ramp and flipping it?
Man, the energy is just unreal. I'm sure you can relate. It's just like, you know, it just pumps you up so much. And, you know, the ramp is terrifying, but then when you have the crowd there screaming, you know, it makes you do sketchy things. And it was, you know, some of the most fun I've ever had is just, you know, on those Nitro tours, you know. Definitely scary, but a lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of people who pushing their limits, and it's always good to be around those people, yeah.
Yeah, just keeps pushing, yeah.
Then the WCMX was born, a league specialized on the skate park wheelchairs. Did that supported the sport you involved? Or you invented?
it definitely, you know, kind of blew up, and I feel like there was just like WCMX popping up all over the place, you know, like all over Europe and Australia and New Zealand and, you know, in the United States, and really seeing it grow and seeing so many people getting into it and really putting their own spin on things, you know, like different riders are coming up with different tricks and different things you can do with a wheelchair, and you're like, what the heck? I didn't even know that was possible.
And how is the level at the moment? Is it still like that you can show up on an event and you can win it, or is it way out of your ability?
Each year it gets, you know, tougher and tougher, the competition, you know, with more guys and doing bigger tricks and stuff. But so far I've got the title for 5 years in a row, so I'm really, really trying to hold on to it.
Great. So that means I think this is the same when COVID is over, or it's possible to do these events again. That means you will compete in this events as soon as it's possible.
Yeah, you know, once COVID's done ruining everything, it'd be nice to get back and doing shows and doing the competitions again, because you know how it is. That's what you live for.
Yeah. When we met, you were riding more or less a normal wheelchair, which was a little bit stronger than a normal wheelchair, but yeah, nothing too special. And today there are super crazy wheelchairs, especially for the sport. Were you involved in the development of these things?
Yeah, so when I was about 8 years old, or no, actually closer to nine, I met a guy named Mike Box, and him and his brother John Box actually took me under their wing, and they started building wheelchairs for me. And then just like up until about a year or so ago, I was working with Mike to, you know, build these stronger chairs and, you know, really just kind of develop a skate park chair that's, you know, basically indestructible. And so it's really cool to see like how far the technology's come and, you know, where it is today from where it was. I definitely wouldn't get on one of those wheelchairs I was riding in the past and go down a mega ramp now, you know?
Yeah. What was the biggest change over the years, or the biggest change over the years?
I feel like a lot of it has kind of changed. Like the wheels have changed, and, you know, Spinergy's made them stronger to hold up to a lot of the abuse. And then, you know, the actual wheelchair itself, just like a little bit of extra cross bracing and just kind of changing some of the stress points, you know, to make it so it's not like bending or, you know, cracking in certain places. And it's just been cool. Also, I have pretty big Fox shocks on it now. Mm-hmm. The shocks just keep getting bigger, you know.
More travel. Yeah,
but
I mean,
it's never enough.
It's the same with the mountain bikes. please explain me, what is the biggest difference between a normal stock wheelchair and a skate park wheelchair? Is it just that the skate one is stronger, or any other things?
Well, so I'll use my skate park chair for everyday use, you know, like going to get groceries or whatever. I use the same chair, but a typical, like, just everyday wheelchair will tend to be lighter, you know, a little bit more lightweight. And it a lot of the time they don't have suspension on them if it's just like an everyday cruiser. But yeah, I think it's definitely much better to have the suspension all the time, you know, because jumping off a sidewalk or something, it's nice to have that. But
yeah,
yeah, it's really one of the big things is just weight.
Okay. And when you started and you were younger, how many of the wheelchairs you broke during the first years? And how disappointed were your parents when you showed up with another broken one? I mean, these things are super expensive.
yeah, and unlike a bike, you can't just go to a store and buy a new part,
yeah.
You know, which is kind of a pain. But, you know, I think it's getting better all the time. But, yeah, like, to this day, I've probably gone through close to 30 wheelchairs. and, I mean, you know, some of that's just testing and changing stuff, but some of them just get really destroyed. And you know, it's just part of the process. But early on, my mom was, you know, they, for some reason, they've always been supportive, you know. And even when I was breaking stuff, my parents were always trying to find a way to get it fixed so I could keep riding, you know.
That's super great. So I saw on your wheelchair that you have now these Fox suspension, and is it common that you have a suspension on your wheelchair, or is it just in the skate park, on the skate park chairs?
Honestly, all my chairs right now have suspension, just because it's kind of, like I was saying, it's just nice to have it for even daily use. But I am building a chair right now that has no suspension, and it's mostly just for going on cruises, you know?
Okay. So you have set some world records over the years, and I've seen a picture on your Instagram where you're holding up the newest version of the world record book. What is your latest world record?
So I think it was July 20th of 2018. I ended up going to Woodward with Guinness World Records. And we, you know, I had some ideas for some records I wanted to set on the Megaram. And so actually within just, I would say it was within about an hour, hour and a half, we were able to set three records. And it was the scariest, you know, day of my life, because I set the record for the furthest wheelchair ramp jump, and I ended up going 72 feet. I don't know how many meters this is, but it was terrifying. And then after I landed, I went up the quarter pipe and I did a hand plant on the very top on the coping, and then I actually landed it, which then was the tallest wheelchair hand plant, and then went back up and dropped in on the quarter and got the record for the tallest wheelchair drop-in. So the wheelchair drop-in and the hand plant were 30 feet. <It's> terrifying.
So that sounds like a really successful day and a terrifying day.
Yeah.
So I mean, you achieved so much in your life. What are the goals for the future?
Man, so one of my main goals right now is to get better at building chairs. I've been spending a lot of this COVID time learning how to build wheelchairs, and you know, trying to make them a little bit better and changing some things here and there. And so I want to be able to build a chair that can go faster and, you know, kind of handle bigger jumps a little bit better, and maybe start doing some dirt stuff.
Okay. And any ideas or any plans to build up your own wheelchair company where you can sell these chairs to different or to other people?
You know, that's definitely something I've been thinking about. And, you know, one day I think it would be awesome to get to that point. I'm definitely not there yet, but I'm working towards it. And, you know, right now it's kind of just like something I do as a hobby, something to help me out. But I definitely would like to get to the point where I can help other people get in a chair so they can send it.
That's great. Aaron, thanks a lot for your time. I wish you all the best for the future, and hopefully you will be able to go on the road with the Nitro Circus people soon again, and achieve some more world records. So thanks a lot for your time, and hopefully we will talk soon for the podcast again.
Yeah, you're the man. Thank you for having me on, and hey, maybe if we do a Nitro show out there, you can come ride the ramp with us.
I think I will be a little bit too scared for that, but I will come and watch, definitely.
Sounds good.
Thanks. Bye bye.
Thank you, Toby.